1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Graham Murty says recent drop points are nothing to do with an Old Firm hangover as Rangers face a real battle for second. Celtic stretch their lead at the top, but Brendan Rodgers not happy at all with Andrew Davis's stamp on Scott Brown. And Neil Lennon bemoans the prospect of having to go to Ibrox for a third time this season after the split. It is a Monday night. Your weekend review starts right here in the company of Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Andrew Davies, let's cut to the chase. It wasn't a challenge on Scott Brown. It was what the courts might describe as common assault. And every negative word said about him and that challenge has been thoroughly deserved. Now we wait to see if there will be any punishment beyond the 2-game ban. It is unlikely. There is a procedure in place. The referee showed the red card. A 2-game ban follows, and I think that's what will happen.
I'm surprised at Neil Lennon. I thought he'd have done the opposite because they've lost at home against Rangers and beat Rangers twice at Ibrox. I thought he'd have been delighted to go there for a third time.
So many talking points coming out of another big weekend of Scottish football. Hugh is going to have his say. Derek is going to have his say. But what about you? What have you made of it? What did you take away from the weekend? Let us know. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. And if you'd prefer Twitter, then you will find us at ClydeSSB. We could start pretty much anywhere, but let's start with this battle for second place, Hugh Keevans, because in a weekend where Rangers dropped points again, 1 point from nine, and Aberdeen and Hibs both won, we have got an incredible battle on our hands.
And it intensifies if Hibs beat Hamilton at Easter Road tomorrow night, because that takes care of their game in hand over Rangers and leaves them, if they win, 1 point behind Rangers. So it's now every man for himself with regard to Aberdeen, Hibs and Rangers, but race it is.
Here's a thing then. Has the weekend caused you to alter your predictions for who will finish second at all? And if not, then which prediction are you standing by?
I think I predicted Rangers to finish second, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. They've still got a chance, but as Derek touched upon earlier, the home form is ridiculously bad. And you know, the recent form, 1 point from their last nine, suggests that there's a fair bit of work to be done, but it's too tight. You can't call it. It might be Rangers. It might be Aberdeen. Might even be Hibs.
I think Hibs and Aberdeen. Hugh Keevan sitting on the fence.
Hibs,
I never thought I would see the day.
Aberdeen. Hibs and Aberdeen can, you know, make a big imprint tomorrow because Hearts entertain Aberdeen tomorrow night. Mm. And of course, as you said, you know, it's was it Hibs against, just looking on Tuesday,
Hamilton Accies.
Against Hamilton. And on Saturday, they're away at Ross County as well. You know, loads of things can happen, but it's close. This is going to be the main talking point now. We all know who's going to win the league. I think we all know who's going to go down. It's who's going to finish second. What a tremendous battle that's going to be between the three clubs.
I'm not sure we do know who's going down.
Well, I think Ross County are going down. Well, in my opinion.
You know, if Ross County beat Partick Thistle midweek, they're on the same points, and that one's up for debate as well. I'm not sitting on the fence, Gordon. I've already declared myself it's Rangers. I'm just giving the public a chance to get a few weeks' bile worked up before they say there's another wrong prediction.
I'm sure there'll be plenty more wrong before the season ends. What do you think then? Who do you think is in the driving seat for the second place finish? 0141 951 1025. Graham Murty says his players didn't handle Motherwell's physicality at the weekend, but says the recent dip in form is not a lasting effect of the Old Firm defeat. Despite being 2-0 down at half time, goals from Tavernier and Windass rescued a point. It was Murphy, wasn't it? It wasn't Windass at all. Don't know why it says Windass here. But Murty says simply not where the club needs to be.
I think that the players will reflect on a decent second half performance and a performance where we didn't deal with their threat in the first period well enough. Even though the prep was there and we understood what was going to happen, we just simply didn't deal with what they threw at us. But in the second half, I didn't change anything tactically or personnel-wise, even though there was a fair amount in me screaming at me to take him off and change this. I actually challenged them to go and stand up, to take some ownership, to take some accountability and go and be braver. And I thought they did that fantastically well in the second half. We didn't do it. Simple as. We didn't deal with their physical threat. Two balls into our box that we didn't defend well enough, and you find yourself two goals down. And it's not a surprise. It's exactly what we showed them would happen. The areas that they delivered from were exactly what we showed them. We quite simply didn't actually deal with what they were trying to do well enough. They're very effective at it, but I thought we were far too passive. So, no surprise, but I thought that the second half performance was more us, more how we want to play the game. I simply think it's down to this game. We just didn't deal with the threat. So it's nothing to do with any previous game or any subsequent game. It's down to the fact that we didn't deal with a very specific area of trouble to our team, and it caused us problems. We changed a mindset rather than a tactic in the second half and dealt with it much, much better.
I mean, I said on this programme after 20 minutes I would have changed two players because it just was not working. I would disagree with Graham in a sense as well. I think there still is a hangover from the Old Firm game because there was so much into that game. Everybody felt, even the players themselves felt that they could take something out of the game if not beat Celtic. You know, and the manner in which they played in the second half against Celtic wasn't good enough. You know, and I think against Kilmarnock they were poor for the majority of the game, and for the first half on Saturday they were absolutely diabolical again. So I think there was a hangover, but you know, I mean, we all thought he's going to make substitutions at halftime because it's not good enough. He didn't, and when they came out, we're worried about that. And you know, within 6 minutes, Rangers will get two goals back to make it 2-2. So what he said to them worked. Maybe he should be saying what he said at halftime to them before the game starts, because the players are there. I'm in no doubt they've got good players, but you have to do it on a consistent level. You can't just turn it on one day and then not turn it on the next. You have to be consistent when you go to a big club like that if you want to win things.
Very difficult to tell exactly what is the difference, Hugh Keevans, of course. And of course Graham Murty is not going to say, yeah, we're struggling because of that Celtic defeat. It's just never going to happen. However, as Derek says, only a couple of weeks has passed. You look at the sort of confidence, the feel-good factor, if you like,
yeah,
going into the Celtic game compared to now, and it's only a couple of weeks.
At 2-1, when Daniel Candeias makes it 2-1 against Celtic, then you're thinking, oh, is there going to be a major result for Rangers here which would have an impact on the title race? No. They lose to 10-man Celtic. It all evaporates after that. And now players have been asked questions, as Jamie Murphy was after the game at Motherwell. Are the players 100% behind Graham Murty? When you're asking that type of question, then there is a feeling that, yeah, he's a nice man. Yes, he's a, you know, a good player in his day, etc., etc. He's been left holding the baby. We know that, but he's not the man for the job.
But there's no way in this earth, when you ask Jamie Murphy that question, he's going to say, well, no, he's not good enough to be the Rangers manager. You're never ever going to say that. Deep down, you might have your own thoughts about that, but when you're asked, when you're standing there with all the press, there's no way on earth you're going to have a go at the manager.
0141 951 1025 is the number for you to get in touch. Billy is a Rangers fan in Blarnock, and he's done just that. Hi, Billy.
How you doing, lads?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
Graham Murty on the radio there, and I think he's actually talking so much rubbish, it's unbelievable. If he thinks 20 minutes in a 90 minute game is good enough for Rangers in a 2-2 draw, he should never be the Rangers manager. And if you keep blaming the players, any day he put 11 players out in the park, and if they're not good enough, he should have been changed it. And plus, he didn't have the ball to go and win the game and be putting an extra striker on the last 10-15 minutes.
Well, they said that he felt that Rangers dealt with the second half fantastically well. Those were the two words he used, fantastically well. Well, for me, if you deal with it fantastically well, you win. And it was a draw. So I just think Derek may have misinterpreted what I was saying. When Jamie Murphy is asked the question, I know he's not going to say anything about the manager. The very fact, though, that the question is asked means that there's a feeling, a groundswell that suggests that Graham Murty is not the man, and now it's been discussed openly.
But Hugh, it's a reporter that's asking the question to get a line. You know, it's nobody else but they're trying to look for a line off him. And anyway, whatever happened, the bottom line is, and I think Billy's right, you know, it's 2-2 for 6 minutes. Rangers did well, and probably for the next 10 minutes. But you've got to win these games. They've had 1 point out of nine, and that's not good enough at this part of the season. Rangers' home form's been poor as well. So there's loads of things that come into it. As I said earlier, I think the players there are good enough, but they're just not consistent enough, and that's a problem.
Billy, in fairness to Graham Murty, you heard him there talking about the fact that he could have taken anyone off. He was thinking about making substitutions, but he decided to give those players, the ones that got themselves into that mess, so to speak, give them the chance to get out of it. they equalised very quickly. Is he in any way vindicated then?
I understand that. I think two each. You think 2 each good enough for Rangers going down to Motherwell? I don't think it's good enough for the players are got. And plus, we had a chance to go and win a game if we change the forward line.
Can I ask you a question, Billy? You know, at half time, would you take in 2-2 when you're 2-0 down?
But at the end of the day, but the game lasted 90 minutes.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm only asking the question. If 2-0 down and Rangers were ranked rotten, then they got back to 2-2, would you have taken 2-2 draw at half time?
But at the end of the day,
you're right, he's not good. I agree with you, Bill.
He's the manager, and name is Morelos. Morelos has done nothing. He runs about, does a lot of hard work, but he does nothing. My second point is, to me, against the Celtic, I'd put the boy Cummins on for the beginning. But to me, there's goals in Cummins. There's goals in Morelos. I think Cummins are made a natural striker in Morelos.
Yeah.
This one's not going to go away, Derek.
No.
What have you seen then of Cummins to suggest that he's better than Morelos?
Well, I'm not saying he's better than Morelos, but I think he's a better finisher than Morelos. If he gets the same chances that Morelos gets, then I think Cummins would score more goals. But what Morelos gives you, and Billy's right, he gets in and about centre backs. He makes it difficult for them. Cummins doesn't do that. Cummins likes to stay off, try and get into the space, you know, and have shots from 20 yards and whatnot. They're two entirely different types of centre forwards. The easy thing I would say to you is just play both of them, but that's not going to happen against Celtic because I don't think they can afford to play two up front.
Hugh?
Well, for me, Cummins plays to the gallery. The fans love him, but the stats show since joining from Nottingham Forest, one league goal. He can rack them up against lesser opposition from lower leagues, but one league goal since he got here.
You could say he's not had a
lot of games, yeah.
Could say Hugh.
But I still think it, and I will say it, you know, being a striker, I think he's a more natural striker than Morelos is. That is for sure.
Billy, how are you feeling confidence-wise in terms of this race for second? That's the big talking point that came out of the weekend, because obviously Aberdeen and Hibs both won and Rangers didn't. What's your gut reaction at the moment then as a Rangers fan?
Well, my gut reaction is we could do it, but the way they're playing, Derek says, in the last three games, they don't deserve it. I mean, at the end of the day, they can't raise a game against Motherwell. If they do, Celtic gives a bloody nose. I mean, but you should come out fighting after that. And we're putting back away. And I'd be blaming my manager and all that. And the boy's done well. We stepped in and done a job. But it's not good enough. I mean, and they have to look at themselves, of course. But at the end of the day, it's his 11 players. That's what I keep saying. You put Cummins on against the Celtic and even get a couple of goals. Because I think if he gets a chance, Morelos gets, money will be in the net.
Okay, thank you to Billy for his thoughts. It's 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to give us yours. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. George is next up in Rutherglen. Hi George.
Alright lads, how's you getting on?
Fine. Good. George, what's your point?
I phoned up on Friday, I don't know if you remember. I was the one that was having sleepless nights. it was in regards to McCrory was my point. And obviously Rangers using the chance to maybe bleed them in.
Give them minutes, yeah.
Aye. Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, this is some hangover for him at the Celtic game. You know, it's first half, Rangers were absolutely awful. Two centre halves for me, for the experience I've got, were very, very poor. My point is, basically, they put Dorans on the park for the beginning, who done all right, who's been out since October. Now, McCrory's only been out for maybe about 6 or 7 weeks. Never him getting any minutes at all. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what we're letting Murray doing is, I don't think he really, really recognises how poor that defence is. Our midfield we can cope with. I said that on Friday to you. We need to get that the centre half sorted out because they are awful. And just picking up on the Morelos thing, you know, I know we play the one up front, and I think what lets Morelos down is the style of play that he plays. He needs somebody up there with him. And for me, Windass doesn't work hard enough to get up there. Yeah. He does all his work after the ball, turn people about the place, the park. He's very strong. He wins a lot of second balls that he shouldn't get, but there's nobody there to pick them up. Now, I don't know if Cummins is the answer, playing a bit further forward. But for me, Windass has let himself down very badly in the last couple of games. And if you don't play well, and there's people waiting to come in the wings, just like us, then you shouldn't be playing the next game. We've got players there that can change it. But for me, we're missing a boat at centre-half. We need to get that boy back in there.
Well, there's one game left for Rangers prior to the cup tie with Celtic.
Nah, that's why I was making that point
on
Friday.
And that's Dundee. Now, Dundee are fighting for their lives and got a commendable draw against Hearts yesterday. They've got Celtic Wednesday night, and then Rangers at Ibrox. They will continue to fight for their lives in both of those games, but it's the last chance to see if McCrory can play, because if he doesn't play against Dundee, then I don't see him playing against Celtic.
Absolutely.
What do you think he's thinking as, lads? Because for me, everybody can see, you know. Can you see me? Am I back on again? Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I just don't like to be talking to myself. I do that quite a lot. For me, it's just a case of, everybody can see our problems at the centre-half. Yeah. The two guys in Saturday were absolutely terrible in the first half. It was shocking. They were like two young boys that had been put in there for the first time. There was no communication. You know, the amount of times Alves gets beat with just a bogging through the middle, it's outrageous for the man that has experience.
I think the thing for me, you're right about experience, and the two of them have got mega experience at international level as well, but the one thing that they don't have is pace.
You can't play two together. Yeah, totally, right,
they don't have pace. That's why I thought McCrory must come on, at least for half the last half hour. Give him minutes, because there's a mega game coming up in a fortnight's time. He did go. Now, when the Rangers have arranged to play games this week, you know, to give the ones that haven't been playing, you know, minutes, then fair enough. But there's nothing better than playing in a match that means things rather than a friendly up at Auchin Howie or whatever, you know.
One of the names that was mentioned there was Windass, of course, who went off with that injury. It looked like Kipri sort of fell on him, if you remember the chance late on. So he faces a bit of a race against time to see if he's going to be fit anyway.
Well, I don't think he's done an awful lot in the last few games. I thought I would have taken him off. I mean, how many times have I said on this programme, it's all right scoring the goals he's had, and well done to him, but he scores a goal and you don't see him again for another 20-25 minutes. You can't have a number 10 that doesn't get involved in the game. And for me, if he's injured, fine. Maybe there's a chance there for Cummings to play just off the striker then.
The concern for Rangers is that, you know, Goss has gone off the boil, so he's been left out of the team. Windass, the injury problem apart, still has this recurring problem of starting well, then fading away. But who is doing well at the moment? Since the Celtic game, who is doing well?
Jimmy Murphy, maybe.
Murphy is there.
Only started playing in the second half as well, as the whole team did, not just Jamie Murphy. You're right. But as I'm saying, they do have players that should be doing it, Gordon. I don't know what gets into their heads. You've got to get a winning mentality. That's why the Rangers teams in the past have won things, because the managers got it brought into their heads. You know, you've got to win every week here, and you keep at them and at them. They just don't. They've got it now and again, this Rangers side, but then they lose it completely, as they did in that first
For
half
me,
on Saturday.
There's one word that's synonymous with Rangers right now, and it's uncertainty. There's uncertainty over who will be the manager. There's uncertainty over whether several players who are due to go back to their parent clubs at the end of the season are coming back to Rangers. The whole thing, from top to bottom, is shrouded in uncertainty.
In terms of what we took from the weekend then, in that race for second place, on Twitter at Clyde SSB, Soccerzine says, "I think we learned the Scottish top half of the table is full of decent teams. When the split happens, we're in for some cracking games. Anthony Neal's not too bothered though. He says second place is just a fancy way of saying first loser." We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers on Celtic's win and that challenge on Scott Brown after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you want to get in touch, the number you need is 0141 951 1025. And if you'd rather tweet us, we are at Clyde SSB as well. You know what the English managerial merry-go-round is like, yes. Hugh Keevans, and all of a sudden it's starting to impact us here as well. Kevin Gold on Twitter saying, "What do you think about Alan Pardew, one of the managers that Rangers wanted resigned today from West Brom? What about him maybe replacing Murty?" So there we go. As soon as one manager becomes available, it starts off a chain reaction.
Well, I think Alan Pardew, although he's failed and it only took 4 months for West Brom to get rid of him, I think Alan Pardew would still want more money than Rangers can afford to pay for a manager.
Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? He says the tackle on Scott Brown by Ross County captain Andrew Davis was a disgrace, saying that the skipper let his manager and supporters down. In terms of the result, it was a 3-1 win over the Staggies. It moves Celtic 12 points clear with a game in hand. Rodgers says they did well to learn from the mistakes of the 0-0 draw with Motherwell before the break.
I think when you come back after international break, you're always looking to try and get some fluency as quick as you can. So You know, I was very pleased. I think you've seen the pitch today. The pitch really helped. You know, the pitch was in real, real good condition. So, well done to the ground staff for getting it to that level, which allows us to play the game much quicker. And yeah, I thought that position of the team was very good. I thought we started the game. We talked before the game about having that intent and intensity in the game. And I thought we started that way, and we scored one in the first half, but could have had a few more. Then of course they get down to 10 men, which is a really, really bad challenge. You know, I feel for the Ross County staff, you know, the guys that are trying to take this team and keep this team in the league. You know, I feel for the supporters, travel all the way down. You know, you get your captain, who's probably got his most important game on Tuesday night, and makes a really, really poor challenge. I don't know if you've seen it again, but if you watch it again, it's a really, really poor challenge, you know. And you get Jozo Simonovic gets two games for a slight elbow. I don't know what that'll be, you know. So I really feel for the staff and the supporters there and the players, of because you lose, you know, you lose your captain, who is a good player, to a, you know, really, really bad challenge. But then for us in the second half, there's a question being asked, similar to what we did at Motherwell. Could we learn? Could we improve from the second half at Motherwell? And we did that. You know, we scored two good goals, won the ball back quickly, counter-pressed it, and had lots of chances.
Well, for me, the challenge is despicable. It's common assault. It has no place on a football field. Andrew Davies is totally out of order. And Scottish football is too partisan, to be fair, when these things happen. There's no rational assessment. Everything is seen in terms of whether you think Scott Brown's a good guy or a bad guy. But I know he's dealt it out in the past, Scott Brown. There's absolutely no doubt about that. He's had his moments. Not an Andrew Davies moment, I hasten to add, but he's had his moments. However, this season I believe that Scott Brown has been more sinned against than sinner. I thought the tackle from Sam Cosgrove at Aberdeen a few weeks ago was outrageous, and Andrew Davies was ridiculous. What happens to him now, I leave up to the SFA, but you simply deliver your opinion on that particular tackle. It is scandalous.
Yeah, I think you're right, Hugh. I think Andrew will be disgusted with himself. I mean, who knows what goes through a player's mind when something like that happens. You know, he's ran up to the ball, and the ball was cleared where he went, and he sort of slowed down before he got there, before he made the stamp. He must have known himself, if the referee catches that or the cameras catch that, you know, I'm off the park. He didn't complain at all. He knew exactly what happened, and he misses a massive game tomorrow night. You know, I don't know what goes through his mind, but you're right about Scott Brown. Scott Brown can take it. We saw that at Aberdeen when he was three players trying to kick him at the one time, and yeah, he just got up and gave it. You need more than that. I can remember last season against Liam Boyce, he's had a horrendous challenge on Boyce, got sent off, and that was rescinded. So yeah, you're right, Hugh. I mean, he gives it, but you've got to take it as well. But that one is nothing to do with football. That was a terrible challenge. It was late, it was meant, and it was thoroughly deserved, the red card. And you know, the player will be disgusted, as I say, with himself when he watches that.
John's in Coat Bridge, he's a Celtic fan. Hi, John.
Hi, guys, how you doing?
Fine, John.
I was the first I seen that tackle last night, and I was watching it on the highlights, and it's Stephen Thompson and Michael Stewart said that was premeditated. I mean, he waited for, I think we've got Scott Brown once he was coming down. But I honestly think, sure, I know you've stuck up for it, but Derek, you seem to still come up to the Liam Boyce thing last year. That's nothing to do with Liam Boyce last year. This is this year. It was a terrible tackle on him. I could have ruined that guy's career. I could have killed him the way it hit him. But the fact is that if that was Scott Brown, there'd be retrospective action took against him. And we all know that because it's Scott Brown.
Well, just to be fair, John, how do we all know that? Let's clear that one up.
But it was premeditated.
No, that if it was Scott Brown, there would be retrospective action taken, and we all know that. Based on what? When has there been retrospective action taken against Scott Brown?
Because of who he is. I mean, Scott, as Hugh Keevan said there, team is due. Scott Brown has been the more sinned against this year. All right, Scott Brown's put it out in the past, but he's never done anything like that. You know what I mean? That guy could have killed him on Saturday, but he's done anything.
That's the second time you said it. I do believe that it was dangerous from a medical point of view, and I'm not being funny. Have a man of Andrew Davies' size apply his boot to that particular area of Scott Brown's anatomy is, in my opinion, medically dangerous. And that's why I say it wouldn't have killed him, but it's medically dangerous. And so that adds to it. It's unprofessional. He's on the park there to do his best for Ross County. And I do think that people go for Scott Brown because Scott Brown's the chief. At Celtic, he's the chief. The rest are soldiers in the army, but he is the chief. And they go for him because if you target the chief and you get him, it has a negative effect on the rest. But it's not working with Scott Brown because he just keeps bouncing up. But it was dangerous and, you know, unprofessional because... Now, okay, this is another one that, you know, what name do you make for yourself there? You know, and I've heard this over the weekend. All Andrew Davis has done is draw attention to himself and have people like me call him unprofessional. And, you know, any other derogatory term you can think of, but that's not making a name for yourself. That's just proving that you couldn't maintain your composure when your team were getting a going over from the opposition.
What is worse, really, as far as Ross County are concerned, is they've got an absolutely massive game. As the Celtic manager just alluded to there, you know, it's a massive game and he's out the game for a bit of absolute stupidity.
John's sort of bigger point, Hugh, is that he would like to see some retrospective action for Andrew Davis. Let's remind ourselves of the lay of the land with these types of things. So he was sent off for violent conduct. That carries a 2-match ban.
Yep.
The referee saw the incident.
Yep.
That's not necessarily the end of it. It could well be that once the referee's report is submitted, he may well advise that it does get escalated and the compliance officer may well choose to add 2 seconds, John. The compliance officer may well choose to add additional punishment. It doesn't seem particularly likely, but it could still happen.
Well, on the basis that Tony McGlennon, the compliance officer, had yet to say anything, or the SFA have yet to indicate anything, then we must leave it there and let the SFA decide whether there's anything beyond the 2-game automatic ban. All I can say is Andrew Davies was guilty of an unprofessional and potentially dangerous act when he went in on Scott Brown in that fashion. It is simply anti-football.
John.
See my point here as well, right? They are always going about Scott Brown, right? But you see, personally, this compliance officer guy, and I'm not just saying if it was a Celtic player, right? Obviously Scott Brown, right? If it was Scott Brown, to me, it'd be the retrospective action, or even if it was a Rangers player, because they try to make an example of the old firm. So they do. So I honestly think, would you call it...
Based on what, John? I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you at all. I'm just looking for you to try and back that up.
Just over the years, Gordon, I think if it's an old firm player, I mean, or even a high-profile player, you know what I mean? They try to make an example out of it. To me, I would bet MD any money, nothing happens to this guy. You know what I mean? He'll get a 2-game ban for what he's done, but to me, it should be... I know it was into the crowd, but I can't in a kung fu kick, you know what I mean? And it was premeditated. As I watched it last night, as Stephen Thompson and Michael Stewart said, he waited, he seen him holding back, then when Brown went down, that's when he's drew right into his ribs or whatever it was, he kicked him, I don't want to say it in air, you know what I mean? But anyway, to me, it was premeditated. If it was a Rangers or Celtic player, it would, especially Scott Brown, well, it would have been, would you call it?
Well, anyway, your comments are to an extent premeditated because we don't know what's going to happen yet. We have to give the SFA and the compliance officer in particular the opportunity to decide whether this extraordinary tackle merits extraordinary action. So we'll have to wait until that particular verdict is delivered, and we'll know that in a matter of days.
I think you'll know it tomorrow, Hugh, because the reports from the referees not going in a Tuesday.
Well, you never know what impact the holiday today would have
possibly,
that. So
it'll
be at some point this week. But Hugh, I don't know why I do know at times, but in this part of the world, we sometimes look for more. If there is no retrospective action, let's be very clear, it's not because it's on Scott Brown. This wouldn't be any different.
Well, I did say to you at the start that Scottish football is too partisan for rational assessment and too partisan for fairness. Watched on social media people saying that Andrew Davies had a mistimed tackle.
No,
it's ludicrous. People see what they want to see, hear what they want to hear, think what they want to think. It's not necessarily correct.
Andy's a Rangers fan. He's got some thoughts on this incident. Oh, hi, Andy.
Hi, yeah. The tackle. I'm a Rangers fan, but the tackle is. You can even to me, being a public figure on Radio Clyde and obviously being a former journalist and things like that, it was a horrendous tackle. It was a bad tackle. It was done during a football game. But for Hugh Keevans to call it an assault, to call it an assault, that's to me, that is over-dramatising it. It's also, it's basically sending out a message that players go on the field, of play and assault people. No, it was a horrendous tackle. It was a bad tackle. End of story. It was done during the football match. The referee seen it. He gave him a red card. There shouldn't be any other action taken. He's going to get a two-game ban. But to actually call the tackle an assault and coming from somebody well-respected in the game, as Nick Evans is shocking. And it is, I'm really, honestly, words fail me, to be honest with you.
Well, clearly words don't fail you because you're on here having a go at me. So words do not fail you.
For you to call it an assault, are you sticking to that point?
Are you exaggerating a little bit, Mr. Keevans?
I think it's a very dangerous... I can't call it a tackle because it wasn't a tackle.
It was a tackle. It was a tackle during a football match.
No, it wasn't
a tackle during the football match.
Yeah, plenty of time.
This president in Ibrox, years ago, what happened to Duncan Ferguson when he headbutted somebody and the authorities get brought into that as well and end up doing a prison service. So basically, is that what you're wanting Andrew Davis to get done?
No, of course not.
If it was genuinely an assault, then
what I'm saying is,
if you assault somebody in a street, you're liable to get fined or even jailed. So you're saying that it's an assault on the field of play? It's on the field of play. That is a big point there. It's a football match.
Well,
right?
Andrew Davies,
didn't punch him, didn't headbutt him, anything like that. It was a tackle. Okay.
Andrew Davies should have respected the fact that it was on a football field because what he did had nothing to do with football.
Nothing to do with football. It was a tackle. It was a bad tackle, right? It was and premeditated, and the last caller saying that he could have killed him. And that, I mean,
well, I did stop the previous caller to say, of course not. It could not have killed him, but I believe that type of challenge, I can't call it a tackle, that type of physical challenge on another player was extremely dangerous. Had no place on a football park, and for me, Andrew Davis should be ashamed.
As is often the case, and I understand why these things are at the forefront of people's minds, Hugh Keevans. If we could allow ourselves to talk about the actual football for a wee second, how would you describe that for Celtic? Routine win?
Well, you know,
ultimately it's one which stretches the lead at the top, of course.
Yeah, when the callers came on Saturday night after 5 o'clock, those who were there at Celtic Park, they said that they were pleased with the way Celtic had played. They were pleased with the tempo that had been exhibited throughout the match. Before the game started, I said to you, Gordon, could be three, why not four or five, given the enormous gulf between top and bottom, the 46 points that separated Celtic from Ross County at kickoff time, the wealth of talent that Brendan Rodgers had on the park at the start and on the bench. When you're able to introduce Patrick Roberts and Lee Griffiths, that's what you call strength and depth. So I think Celtic have done well, got the points, extended their lead. You might have thought there'd be more goals, but it was certainly sufficient for Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic supporters.
More of your calls, and we'll get the Aberdeen perspective on this race for second place after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's 01419511025 if you want to call, and you'll find us on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. We're going to hear from the Aberdeen camp after a big weekend in the top section of the table, but let's take a call in the meantime. David is in Cowcaddens. Hi, David.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hugh, you were absolutely right, I'm afraid. That was an assault. Because if you say tackle, then that paints the picture of two players competing, tussling, scrapping for a ball somewhere around about their feet. Andrew Davis stood back for that incident. Brown fell. The ball ran about maybe 10 yards on. He then moved forward and stamped and he's fine. So there's no way you can call it a tackle. There was no ball anywhere near it. and he's stamping him as an assault. And
maybe the problem here is, Hugh, I'm not sure why are we striving to describe this in one word, as if that makes any difference.
Well,
people are saying, no, it's not a tackle, it is a tackle, it is assault, it's not assault. Does it matter that we find one word to describe it?
No. We are describing what for me is an extraordinary incident. And for me, Andrew Davies showed no respect to the game, and certainly no respect to a fellow pro. And what he did was reckless in the extreme. And I leave it to the SFA. If they believe that the red card and therefore the automatic two-game suspension is sufficient, then Scott Brown and everyone else will just have to get on with it. But I leave it to the SFA, yeah, and I can't prejudge and I can't influence their decision. So it's entirely up to them.
I think the only problem with using that word assault, I mean, if you say assault anywhere else other than a pitch of rugby players or footballers or whatever, then and if you assault somebody in the street, then there's police involved. Is that what we're talking about now? I don't think you can use the word assault. It was a terrible, terrible challenge. That's what I would call it. And the player deserves everything that he gets for it because it was scandalous.
Because, David, I suppose the one thing that is worth remembering, and you're right, that the ball wasn't there. And let me be very clear, because I know the way things get interpreted in this show. It was clearly, clearly a red card. Indefensible. But off the ball incidents happen, David, in football. People get elbowed off the ball. People do things off the ball. That doesn't mean that they are all assault because the ball isn't close by.
Right, but my answer to that would be, off the ball generally means when a cross is coming in and somebody will take a fly one, right?
David, off the ball sort of describes itself. It means the ball is not there. It doesn't matter how far away it is.
But I'm trying to make the point, Gordon, that it was the premeditation involved in this that separates it from anything else. It was absolutely premeditated.
Yeah,
he knew what he was doing. He stood back and timed it.
But you can say that about any challenge, though. Premeditated if it's off the ball.
Derek, don't be silly. He stood in what? He never went near.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you're elbowing somebody when the referee's turned his back in your hand, that's premeditated.
Of course it is.
That's all I'm saying to you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that what sets this apart, there was no ball coming towards him. So you think, right, I'll give him a quick dig with my elbow. There was none of that. He stood, watched Brown falling, seen the ball rolling away, stepped 3 steps forward and stamped in his groin.
Anyway, there is ample television evidence. It's now a matter for the SFA, for the compliance officer whose specific job it is to examine incidents like this. At the moment, Andrew Davies stands to serve a 2-match automatic suspension.
For violent conduct.
Yes. Yeah. And therefore, it's up to the SFA, given the television footage that they have, to determine whether anything else should happen. And I happily leave that up to them, and we can discuss it when they have delivered their findings.
Thank you to David in Cowcaddens. Keep the calls coming in. Let's hear a bit from the Aberdeen side of things, because as I mentioned earlier on in the programme, really, really hotting up in terms of that battle for second place. It was Tony Docherty, the Aberdeen assistant, who was on media duty today. He says they're building momentum ahead of the split, and he's urging the squad to take their chance and go 3 points ahead of Rangers. They take on Motherwell tomorrow. They know a win would take them above Graham Murty's side, but Docherty says they'll definitely have to be at their best.
I think we're gathering a little bit of momentum at the moment. You know, our last 5 performances were unbeaten, you know, including the cup games. We've won 3 and drawn 2, so particularly going into the game after the performance and the result on Saturday, we're going to tie with a lot of confidence. But we know we're going in against a good Motherwell side. You know, they had 2 very good home performances against Rangers and Celtic. We came away with a draw on both occasions. So we know it's a tough task ahead. We realise that. But no, I've got to say, just having trained with the boys there, there's a buoyant mood in the camp, and we're very much looking forward to the match. I don't think there's always pressure. You know, you're at Aberdeen Football Club. It's a team you're expected to win most games, you know, so there's always pressure there, but we are the ones that put ourselves under pressure, you know, so always see tomorrow night's game as the way it's happened now, it's an opportunity for us to go 3 points clear in second place. Motherwell sees an opportunity to maybe get them into the top 6 or give them a chance getting into the top 6, so it's all to play for, but certainly there's always pressure, and we've shown the time we've been here, we deal with pressure.
Hugh Keevans, we talk about people changing their minds very quickly in football, and particularly Scottish football. Aberdeen are another example of that. This isn't all about Rangers. You know, Aberdeen, I guess, in some quarters were probably written off a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And you look at the situation now, level in points with Rangers with a game in hand. And then Hibs, of course, only 4 points behind Rangers, also with a game in hand. So there is so much to play for. And when these sides all start playing each other after the split, yeah, it's going to be box office.
But let's get the Motherwell game out of the way first of all, because Celtic went there and couldn't score. Rangers went there and couldn't win. So
Aberdeen have had a real sore one already at Fir Park this season in the cup.
So the only thing I would say about Aberdeen, after Saturday, they're in buoyant mood. They've scored 4 goals. Greg Stewart and Stevie May up front have plenty of goals in them. So they would travel optimistically. However, they're meeting Stephen Robinson and the gang, and they are doing a terrific job. It might not be good enough to get them into the top six this season, but in Curtis Main, they have unearthed a wee gem, and I think that will be a terrific match for those who are at Fir Park.
Billy's in Carntyne, wants to talk about Rangers' place in this battle for second. Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys. How's it doing?
Hi, Billy.
I tried going after the Rangers Comalis game that got cut off. By the time I got back on, there wasn't enough time to validate my points, so I've got a few points. But before I go to that, was it John from Cole Bridge that was on top of Scott Brown a couple of calls ago?
Yes, I think so.
I find some of his points are just not valid at all. He's contradicted himself so many times. The challenge in itself, just, it's not acceptable. It's not a challenge at all. That's intent to hurt another professional player, which you shouldn't be doing. But Scott Brown's the angel, you know what I mean? And he goes on about high-profile players being made an example of. Now, what happened to Scott Brown when he turned around and he's in the youth to the main stand after the Candace challenge on him and they're up the park scored the goal?
Billy, can I be quite honest here? And I know what's going to happen. People on Twitter are going to accuse me of not wanting to discuss this. That's not true. It's 53 and a half minutes past six. I need to get the news in a minute and a half. So all I'm saying is, we'll talk about this if you want, but if you want your Rangers point, it is going to have to come now.
Right, we'll go for that then. Right. Windass, why did he continue to get a start every game? That's my first point. Jimmy Nicol, what is his role? Who makes the shots? Who makes the calls and when? Where they're getting changed? Dorans, why was he playing at the weekend? I find that just pure crazy. Aberdeen, leveling points ways with a game in hand. Or a goal difference. I think we're 15 goals ahead of them, and you're about the same with Hibs, but Hibs are only 4 or 5 points behind as well.
Yeah, game in hand, yeah.
It's just not looking too good. I'd see if you get fourth in it, and I hate to say it, it hurts me to say it, but we're no just, we're 2 steps forward, 5 steps back every single time, and you go to Ibrox and it's so far. It's got to the point now that fans, we don't know what to expect now, who's going to come up on a Saturday and a Sunday at Ibrox. And Bully and Darrell Boyd that's sitting for me and all, even the Celtic game and all, we moved to Mini, but doing it 10 men, Rangers should have made that decision then. I know I'm going back to games past, can't change his hands, but we should have made that decision. Brendan Rodgers, take my hat off, I don't like to see it, he showed his managerial class and made the call down then.
Billy, can we summarise this, Billy?
Answer the point, because time's against us, but pick the bones out of that.
Is all of this to tell us that you don't think Graham Murty's up to the job?
At the very start, I didn't think so, Hugh, but I was willing to give the guy a chance. But at the end of the day, it's Rangers' cheapest option. You know what I mean? But it's who's there? Jimmy Nicol's supposed to come in as an experienced number two. Somebody's been at Rangers, knows what they saw about at Rangers, and I just don't see whatever output he's gave.
But Billy, one thing I'll say to you, Graham Murty is the man that picks the team and makes the big decisions. Jimmy Nicol is there to help him out.
Thank you to Billy in Carntyne. I am late for this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, as many questions right as you can against Hugh or DJ for the chance to win a signed ball. If you want to take part, if tonight is your night, then go and pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. We're going to hear from Hibs boss Neil Lennon. He's not a happy man at the prospect of having to go back to Ibrox after the split. Give us your thoughts on those post-split fixtures. 0141 951 1025.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time indeed for Beat the Pundit. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson both standing by. Let's meet tonight's contestant. He is Ross Cusick. He's from Castlemilk. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Just a wee day off work, was it? Thought you'd round it off by trying to beat Hugh and Derek at Beat the Pundit.
I'm actually just in the door. I coach an under-14s football team and we've got a Scottish Cup semi-final on Sunday, so I had them out training on Easter Monday.
Quite right, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, good man.
Getting the
dedication,
preparation in for the big game. Well, we wish you well anyway, Ross, regardless of what happens in the next minute or so. Ross, I'm going to toss the coin anyway and see who you're going to be up against. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Derek Johnson. Let's see what we've got here. And it is tails. It's going to be DJ. So let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure that he can't steal your answers. Right, Ross, 30 seconds. Head to head, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Okay, cheers.
Which side is currently top of Ladbrokes League 2?
Pass.
Which English Premier League manager was sacked today?
Alan Pardew.
Which boxer did Anthony Joshua beat on Saturday?
Joseph Parker.
Who is Celtic's top goal scorer in all competitions this season?
Scott Sinclair.
Which Spanish side play at the San Mames Stadium?
Pass.
Which player holds the record for the world's most expensive transfer?
Neymar.
And which Ladbrokes Championship side play at Glebe Park?
Deacon.
Okay, right, let's bring DJ back. DJ, are you with us? You are.
I'm always here.
I can hear you. Same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Which side is currently top of Ladbrokes League 2?
Peterhead.
Which English Premier League manager was sacked today?
Alan Pardew.
Which boxer did Anthony Joshua beat on Saturday night?
Joseph Parker.
Who is Celtic's top goal scorer this season in all competitions?
Dembele.
Which Spanish side play at the San Mames Stadium?
Seville.
Which player holds the record for the world's most expensive transfer?
Neymar.
And which Ladbrokes Championship side play their home games at Glebe Park?
Brechin City.
You've just got time. What's the nationality of Partick Thistle's Thomas Cherney?
He's a Czechoslovakian.
Quick. Right, okie doke. How are you feeling about that one, Ross?
Nah.
High scoring, I think.
Do
you think so? Let's go through them then. First one, which side currently top of Ladbrokes League 2? It is Peterhead. DJ, he's got this obsession with the title race in League 2, Ross. So you were a bit unlucky the way the question fell there. It is Peterhead, 1-0 to DJ. Alan Pardew, of course, left West Brom today, so you both got that right. 2-1 to DJ. It then became 3-2 because you both knew that Joseph Parker was the man who lost to Anthony Joshua. But I'll tell you something, Ross, you equalised on question 4 because Scott Sinclair is Celtic's top goal scorer in all competitions. So 3-3 after 4 questions. Question 5, which Spanish side play at the San Mames Stadium? It's Athletic Bilbao.
Oh,
so none of you got that right. Still 3-3. You both knew that Neymar was the world's most expensive player. 4-4. It then went to 5-5 because Ladbrokes Championship side, which plays at Glebe Park, is Brechin, which meant it all come down to the last question.
Right.
What is the nationality of Partick Thistle's Thomas Cherney? He is from the Czech Republic, but it's not been Czechoslovakia for quite some time.
Oh,
so
it was Czech.
Nah, I'm not having it.
Oh, I'm being robbed.
Nah, I can't. I'm getting a shake of the head from the steward next door as well. So.
I've been robbed.
What did Ross say?
He didn't get that far.
Oh.
So it's 5-5.
Right.
Which means we're going to a tiebreaker. Ross, here's the way the tiebreaker is going to work. I am going to ask you the question. I'll ask you both the question, obviously. I'll get Derek to write down his answer, and I'll then invite you to tell me your answer. All right?
Yep.
Right. So, question is this. The British Home Championships was an annual competition held until 1984. That's just a bit of background information. Scotland were outright champions on 24 occasions. How many times did they share the title with another nation? Derek Johnson, write your answer down. So essentially, how many times were Scotland joint winners of the British Home Championships? Derek, hold up your answer for me, please, Derek Johnson. Okay. And Ross, if you would like to give me your answer.
6.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Derek's gone for 5. Ross has gone for 6. So you're going to know straight away when I tell you this answer who's won it. The answer is 17. So well done to Ross. You've pipped them somehow. You were a few away as well.
Scandalous.
But you've got it in the end. Scandalous. Well done, Ross. The sign ball is on its way to you. Congratulations.
Great.
Well
can
done,
I take a second to wish Gifford North under-14s all the best in the Scottish Cup semi-final at Benburb on Sunday.
Happy with that, Ross. No problem at all. Well
Thank
done.
You.
There we are, that was Ross Cusick getting the week off to a winning start for the listeners.
17 times it was sure. Oh, you surprised me. Yeah.
Apparently so. Yeah, according to the steward who handles the inquiries anyway. Give us your thoughts on this, please. 01419511025. Neil Lennon is not too happy. He says Hibs will be at a huge disadvantage if they have to make a third trip to Ibrox after the split, but he is encouraged that his players are still in there fighting for second place. Hibs are 4 points off Rangers and Aberdeen in second. They've got a game in hand over Rangers, and Lennon says the players are certainly up for the fight when the post-split fixtures come around.
Unquestionably, you know, we're right in there now. Only 4 points off second place with 7 games to go. It's nothing. But we are very mindful of Aberdeen being very strong, been there and done that. Rangers have the quality, you know, and Kilmarnock are having a great season as well. A lot of people aren't talking about us, which suits me down to the ground, but you know, we've got 2 games that on paper look winnable, but you have to earn the right to win them, and we haven't beat Eckies this year. Finding really important results, Martin does when his team need it, and they're a dangerous opponent. I have to say, no, I thought 2 Glasgow clubs would run away with it, and Aberdeen would be there and Hearts would be there. I don't think anyone envisaged Kilmarnock being in and around it as well. So there's no question we're ahead of schedule. We've won a lot more games at this stage than what I thought we would, and our form since the winter break has been superb. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, because once the split comes as well, you're playing gargantuan games after that. You know, every game's a cup final, and to be fair, these 2 games going into the split are really important as well. And we'll have a better idea when the split comes. We've got a game in hand, we have to maximise that, and then we'll see going into the split where we lay. But we've given ourselves a very good chance with the form that we're showing at the minute, but that can all change in 1 or 2 weeks. So, you know, like I said, Rangers are strong, got a lot of quality, and Aberdeen have been there, you know, the last 3 or 4 seasons, so they know how to get it done as well. So we're the new kids on the block, and it's a real good challenge for us. But I wouldn't say I'm overconfident about it, but we've given ourselves a very good chance of doing that. Major concern, a major disadvantage to us as well. And anyway, from a financial point of view, we lose out on a sellout crowd at home, which I think we've earned the right to have. So, look, we'll cross that bridge and we'll come to it.
Right, the reason Neil Lennon is voicing those concerns here, because Rangers have already played all of their top 6 opposition at home twice and away once. Now, they're obviously not going to play all 5 of their post-split games away from home, so 2 will be moved to Ibrox. It's not set in stone, but the way it tends to work, it would be the sort of lower ranked teams, if you like, which would mean the Hibs game and the Kilmarnock game would be at Ibrox. So yeah, Neil Lennon not happy at having to go to Ibrox for a third time this season.
He's quite right. It's an anomaly of the system. The split throws these things up. In an ideal world, you play 19 games at home and 19 away, and that's the way it should be. But the split gives you this situation that Hibs find themselves in. I think he's right to highlight the financial disadvantage, because if Rangers were going to Easter Road, it'd be a full house, it'd be live television, and there'd be a healthy 6-figure sum coming Hibs' way. They are now being denied that money. Derek made the point at the start of the programme that if you're looking at Rangers' home record and you're looking at Hibs having won there twice,
it might be better to play them at Ibrox.
Exactly. But, you know, Neil would have to define what he sees as the disadvantage, purely and simply in the footballing sense, that Hibs have gone there twice, been the better team and won deservedly twice. But it is an anomaly, and it is costing Hibs an awful lot of money, and that's unfair.
Well, listen, let's not forget as well, it's happened to Rangers twice, Hugh. They've had to play more games away than
listen,
at home.
Listen, it's happened to so many
clubs,
teams,
yeah,
because
so this,
it's impossible
not,
to.
That's what I'm trying to say. This is not the first time it's happened. It's unlucky for Hibs and Kilmarnock if they are the two teams, but it happens.
And by the way, this will lead to a final picture where Rangers have played 19 at home and 19 away. So it's not like there's an advantage being gained in that respect. It's just, but again, in fairness to Neil Lennon, it's bound to be frustrating for the clubs involved, Hugh.
Yeah. Financially,
but
it is.
But
yeah,
the bigger
them,
picture,
yeah.
It's I was going to say almost impossible. It is impossible to not upset someone.
Yeah. Kilmarnock and Hibs have been to Ibrox this season.
Both
and Rangers have taken precisely 1 point out of 12. You know, so everyone goes on about Rangers' poor home form. You'd be quite happy to play them at home. But see, there's a, and Derek's right, that there are incidents that come up every season created by the split, and there's always somebody left unhappy. But for me, it's a real financial disadvantage to Hibs. I don't see it necessarily as a playing disadvantage, because the games played there tell you that's not the case.
Brian's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Brian.
How you doing? Hi, Hugh. Derek.
Hi, Brian.
Before I go into my point about the fixtures after the split, the challenge at the weekend of Scott Brown was really, really poor. But to try and prove that there was premeditation there, it's totally impossible. There's only one person that knows that, and that's Andrew Davis himself. So, very, very difficult to prove whether he meant it. Right, my point about the split fixtures, I can understand what Neil Lennon's talking about, him being a lower-ranked team, but what I've got a feeling here, because it's so close second place-wise, I think Rangers will be going to Easter Road in Pittodrie, and they'll have Kilmarnock and Hearts at Ibrox after the split.
Well, in the true fashion of Scottish football, we're now arguing about something that hasn't happened yet. So
it's very much looking like it will be Hibs, to be fair, Brian.
Well, as I said, I can understand, and I'll tell you something else. Yeah, Rangers' home form has been very, very poor this season, but Neil Lennon will know himself, his best chance is Easter Road.
I don't accept that.
If Rangers beat them earlier in the season.
Yeah, if you've already won twice at Ibrox, why would you think your best chance was at Easter Road?
Because you'd rather play at home than play at Ibrox.
Lennon obviously does feel that way, yeah, yeah. Hence why he's made those comments.
But I would counter that by saying that his players have suggested that that's not necessarily the case, that because you've been sent to Ibrox, you're at a playing disadvantage. It all depends on who plays best on the day, and Hibs have got a fine side. I think, you know, we've spoken about Stevie Clark as potential manager of the year. Neil Lennon, having brought up Hibs, the promoted club, and having them within a whisker of finishing the league in second place behind Celtic, what about Neil Lennon's credentials for manager of the year?
Can I come back in, Gordon?
Yes, of course.
I don't know if you remember, it was actually myself that phoned and brought this to your attention, that this could happen.
That's right. I think you were looking well into the distance back then, weren't you?
Was,
yes, I do remember.
Obviously, at that point, Marble and St Johnson, I mean, St Johnson fell away.
Yeah, could have been in the top six, yep.
Quite dramatically over the last 2 months. And I knew there was going to be a problem, but that is the anomaly with the split. I agree, it's exciting, but it's not...
It's not fair.
It's not ideal.
But Brian, this will come up every season. Somebody will feel aggrieved every season. And unless we do away with the split and actually have 19 at home, 19 away, it will continue to come up every season. It just so happens it's Hibs' turn this season.
And they're unlucky, because you're right. In games like that, when they mean something, if you've got a home game, the amount of money, as you suggested, they can earn, you know, they've just lost that. They just need to write that off. It would have been on the telly, it would have been live. You got a full house, everything else about it. But that's just how it goes, I'm afraid.
This does happen every year. We do have this discussion every year. But Anthony's on Twitter as well, Hugh, making the point that this is proof that the split doesn't work and should be done away with. Is that true? Or do the benefits of the split outweigh the negatives for our league?
You see, the split does work, in my opinion, because it creates a different level of excitement. There are some things about the split that are easily laughed at. You know, you can have a situation, as has happened some seasons, where the team in sixth place has less points than the team in seventh place, making your final league table look ridiculous. But
2 seconds, yep.
But the split works because people like it, and it's exciting, and it draws a crowd. But it does contain these anomalies, and Hibs are this season's highlight of that.
But the thing is, you've got three teams going for second place, and that's going to be terrific. Everybody's going to be watching that, and you've probably got three teams at the bottom or maybe even four teams. If you think that Ross County have a chance of staying up, then fine. I think they're down, but there's another three clubs there that are fighting to see who wants to stay in that division. So there's everything to play for. The split does work.
On you go, Brian.
Right. To me, the only way a split would work, fair, you know, down the line, would be 14 teams. And then the top six would split after 26 games and then would play each other twice, which would give them 36 games. The bottom eight would then play each other twice as well, which would give them 40 games, which would, you know, give them an extra couple of home games because they didn't get into the top six. That's the only way it would work fairly.
Well, again, if someone fancies that idea, and I mean a club, then the club should go to the SFA with that suggestion, or the SPFL rather, with that suggestion, and see if they can get any backing. But at the moment, we can only deal with what we have. And yeah, the split works, I think, because it creates excitement, it draws a crowd, but there's always a victim. And if Rangers have to play Hibs at Ibrox, then Neil Lennon will feel that his side have been victimised. But I would also suggest that it does Neil Lennon's team talk for him. You know, a grievance is always great for football teams. And he would be saying to his players, they've made us come here three times. Let's make sure that we make it count.
Let's squeeze this one in quickly. I think we've got time. Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, Alec.
Hi, panel. How are we doing?
Oh, good. What's your point, Alec?
And yeah, obviously, regards to Rangers, a fortnight ago, Rangers were getting Celtic a title challenge, and the talk was that they were getting closer to Celtic. 2 weeks later, they couldn't be any further away from us. Now, I've seen this probably for about a season and a half now, all last season and this season. This talk of Rangers getting back to where they belong, this is all just dross. I don't know why it keeps on getting spoken about. And the day that Fergus McCann walked through Celtic's doors, until this day that I'm speaking right now, Celtic has been running like a business. Now, forget about, obviously, you know, the bank sheets and everything else. I believe that as long as Celtic continue to conduct the business, which they're doing at the moment, which I can't see them ever changing, Rangers will always be in Celtic's shadow. Now, I don't know where this God-given right is that Rangers need to get back to what they were. They are what they are.
Well, no one's saying God-given right. We're discussing whether Rangers had a chance of making a belated title race of it. And when it was 2-1 at Ibrox, you thought, well, there's the prospect here of Rangers cutting the gap on Celtic to 3 points. Now, we all know what happened. Celtic went down to 10 men and won 3-2. And Rangers have not been the same since. And now it's 12 points that separate the sides. That's football. But no one said that anyone had a God-given right to be anything. Football's a meritocracy. You get to a position that you deserve.
It's almost time for the full-time teaser. That's when we invite you to send us your questions and try and catch the pundits out. The full-time teaser's coming up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh and DJ are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. Still plenty of time for you to get involved. 0141 951 1025. It is time for the full time teaser though. That's where you send in your questions in order to try and catch the guys out. If you've got a good question that you want to hear used in the show, send it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. This one has been sent in by Martin Burns, and we are looking for the following: the 10 players who scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers. We're looking for the 10 players who scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers. What I will say to you, because let's be honest, there is no denying here, I could extend this show until 8 o'clock in December. We could stay on solid until then, and you would never get Chris Bart Williams.
Oh, okay, the first name I've written that
so
down.
He has been taken out for your own sake.
Right.
And apart from him, we're looking for the 10 players who've scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers.
Wayne Michael Rooney. Owen.
Michael Owen is top of the list. He got 40 as a teenager, would you believe?
Is that right?
Wayne Rooney.
And he got 30. Well done. Good start, Michael Owen and Wayne Rooney. So that's two of your 10. Any more in the meantime?
No, that's the first one that came into my head.
Okay.
I mean, Chris Bartwell.
We're going to hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. A 2-2 draw with Rangers at the weekend. Big game against Aberdeen as well. They could have a big say, not only in their own fight for the top six, but in that race for second as well. Williams and Craig Endo. Hi, William.
Hello, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Yes, fine.
Hi, William. Horrible night. It's just a wee question about the league itself. I think over the last 3 years, we've seen Hearts coming up and finishing third. We've seen Rangers coming up and finishing third. Then Hibs came up and I've got a chance of finishing third this year. And what it looked to me was what was wrong with the other nine? And I think definitely this year, Motherwell and Kilmarnock have raised the bar for it, you know. I think the league is much, much better. I think the standard is much, much better. I think the players are much, much better. And the teams are really consistent. There's a lot, I can't even remember the last time Kilmarnock get beat. And Hibs are on a great run as well. So for me, the standard of the league itself has risen in the last few years. And I just want to put that point across to the panel tonight.
Yeah, listen, I couldn't disagree with that. I think you make a very, very good point. I mean, they're never, ever going to win the league. I mean, there's only one team going to win that. But you're right. When they're playing against the bigger sides, Kilmarnock have been absolutely unbelievable. You know, Hibs have been fantastic too. You're right. And Motherwell, I mean, the last 2 weeks show that, you know, they're a decent side as well. And I think there's more of the so-called smaller teams getting great results against the so-called bigger teams. And that makes your league better. Even when you're playing against Celtic, the best team, they're getting results. Not too many are doing that, but they are getting results against them. So I agree with you. I think the standard of Scottish football is going up.
It's not fashionable to say that it's a good league, but it is, and it's enjoyable, and it's exciting. And I think when you cite the example of Kilmarnock and Hibs, you're talking about sound management from Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon. When you talk about Motherwell, you're talking about sound management from Stephen Robinson and the ability to find players like Curtis Main, having lost Louis Moult. There's so much to be positive about, but it's not fashionable to say it out loud.
Hi, I think, I mean, even looking over the last 3 years, Hugh, I mean, I really think the standard is risen, you know. It's good to see, even though we know Celtic are setting the bar, though, and they maybe win the league before the split, okay, but at the end of the day, the standard below that is getting better for me. And you can see it. I don't know if other fans can see it, but going to games, I certainly can see it. And I don't know if other fans can see it.
When you look at Celtic last season, four draws, no defeats in the league, four draws. But Celtic this season are getting run closer by teams, and they've actually lost matches, lost to Hearts. Yeah, the other teams are improving, and Celtic invincible last season, but a little dent this season. That's not to say that Celtic are not far and away the top side, but even they have noticed that there's been an increase in the power of the teams beneath them. As I say, it's a decent league. The bottom third, they're toiling. Dundee, Hamilton Accies, Partick Thistle, Ross County, they're toiling. But two-thirds of the league doing very nicely.
And to be fair, teams have to struggle in a league, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
You can't possibly have a league where every team does well.
But even the struggle becomes entertaining, because everyone will be looking at the Ross County Partick Thistle game. Everyone will be looking to see how the Accies go on against Hibs, and so on and so forth. And when Dundee play at Celtic on Wednesday night, and then at Ibrox on Saturday. So it is an intriguing league, and it has its great moments of excitement and exhilaration. As I say, for some reason, you're not supposed to say that.
Thank you to William and Craig. And Stephen Robinson says he's not given up hopes of a top six finish despite the 2-2 draw with Rangers. Hopes, though, they can lay down a marker for the semi-final when Motherwell play Aberdeen tomorrow. The Fir Park boss says he doesn't want to get caught up in the penalty decision which saw Rangers start their comeback at the weekend, and he says all the focus must go on the visit of Aberdeen tomorrow.
Listen, every game will be on an individual merit, I would imagine, you know, but what I do know is you'll have two managers trying to win the game. You know, Derek obviously got a big incentive to get second place. They've had a fantastic season. You know, we just have to keep winning our games. We've got two games left before the split, and we have to try and win both of them, and we'll both set out to do that. Yeah, I think our boys have got belief anyway that, you know, especially here, we can beat anybody, you know, and if you do take that win, yeah, I suppose it would be a bonus to take into it, you know, but we'll judge this game on its merits, and, you know, it's still an outside chance of top six for us, so we have to make sure that we're not left going if only, and we've done this. We have to make sure we just go and win that game, and then we'll treat the semi-final on its own merits. Yeah, football's a strange game, you know, in situations. You can only take care of your bit, and if we take care of getting 3 points tomorrow night and again on Saturday, then who knows? Yeah, of course, it's an outside chance, you know, and it's in Hearts' hands, really. But we have to do our bit, and more to the point, we have to keep continuing the run we're on. We have to build the momentum. We know where we went wrong. We know that the period in November and December has cost us, and that our squad isn't possibly quite strong enough. And we have to look at that, and we have to make sure players step up to that, step up the mark, or we sign other players that can do.
Yep, he's doing a great job. It's a fascinating game that they have against Aberdeen. It carries so many consequences. It could affect the outcome of the title race, insofar as if Aberdeen drop anything, then so long as Celtic beat Dundee and Hamilton Accies, they could win the league officially the first game after the split.
I mean, Stephen Robinson says it himself, Hugh. They're 6 points behind Hearts. Motherwell have still got 2 games to play.
Yeah.
Before the split, Hearts have won, and Motherwell have an inferior goal difference. It's looking very, very unlikely. But of course, until it's over, you can understand why he's going to remain optimistic, or at least remain saying the right things.
We had callers on Saturday night, who, one Motherwell fan in particular, who was taking offence at pundits going on about Motherwell's physicality. And it can be seen in a complimentary light, not a negative derogatory light. Yeah, they're physical, but they can also play football. Yeah. And that's a good combination. That's the best combination to have.
So many talking points from the weekend, Derek. Tonight's show has really been dominated by Andrew Davis on Scott Brown, but of course a couple of penalties given at Fir Park as well, which kept everyone going on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it did. And you know, depending on which team you supported, they were the ones that came out and said it was a penalty or it wasn't. I thought Motherwell's was a penalty kick, and Murdo was right. Murdo said right away, there's no such a thing as a soft penalty. It's either a penalty or it's not. And Martin caught him from the back, so the Motherwell one was definitely a penalty, and I didn't think the Rangers one was a penalty, so I thought you got one right and one wrong.
Yeah, I agree with what Derek says. As I say, in this part of the world, football is too partisan to be fair at times, and you see what you want to see, and that's the way these penalty decisions tend to be judged.
What did you see then?
I saw a penalty for Motherwell and I didn't see a penalty for Rangers, but it's gone.
It is indeed. 0141 951 1025 to have your say on the phones. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Stephen's in Renfrew. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Gordon. Good evening, gents. Hugh and Derek.
Hi,
how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You're talking about a league split. Yeah, it's very exciting. We must keep it, but I'm thinking how it could work out. There should be a point system, just like international football, European football. If the top six finish, say, this year, and there's a point system for that, so then it'll fall into the following year. So you work out how the games are going to work out with the SFA, and then you'll probably get 4 out of 6 teams that will play the 3 games, like home and away, blah, 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 and then it'll work out when the split happens. What's your point on that one?
No, you're overcomplicating the whole issue here. I do understand that the split carries anomalies. It also carries great excitement, and it has done its job. But you can't have a system whereby you have some kind of points system that carries on into the following season.
There's nothing to do with that.
Each season is a fresh sheet of paper. And as I say, every season since the split came into being, somebody's had a grievance about where they go to play in their final 5 matches, and that will go on ad infinitum. There'll always be somebody who has a grievance, and their grievance will be well founded.
Yeah.
But it's one of these things that comes with the split. It comes with the territory, and there are parts of the split that don't make any sense, but we have to live with them.
Stephen, would what you're proposing really fix it?
Yeah, I think it will.
You think so?
Gordon? Yeah. We're starting off with a fresh sheet of paper. But the thing is, you can predict who's going to finish in the top four. Do you agree with that? Celtic, maybe Aberdeen, Rangers.
But you can't run a league on predicting.
Yeah, I think, to be fair to Stephen, I think that's where a lot of the questions have come in this season, because people are looking at it now with the benefit of hindsight and saying, we should have known that all of these teams were going to be in the top six, and therefore they shouldn't have played Rangers X amount of times, home or away, pre-split. Uh-huh. But for instance, I don't think it's always that simple, because no one would have predicted, well, not no one, not many would have predicted Kilmarnock to be top six.
Exactly.
St Johnstone have been top six every year for the last few years, and they're not there, so it's tough.
You know what nicked it this season was Hearts having to play all their games at Murrayfield as well. You know, rather than the home games and away games, I think.
Well, it's not really changed anything though, because it's still their home, if you like, regardless of whether. Here's one from Fergus on Twitter, Hugh. Just something a bit different. I can imagine there will be some reasons why this isn't a good idea as well. But he says, easy to solve the financial anomaly post-split. Distribute the gate receipts. Post-split games 50-50.
Well, it's not the daftest idea I've ever heard, because if there is a financial anomaly, then it's only fair you correct it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't throw that one out of court.
Because no. If a team in the top six doesn't get a home game in the shoot against the Old Firm, I mean, it's a lot of money they're losing. You, I mean, you can understand where you're coming from there. Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, thank you to Stephen and Renfrew. Still time for you to get in touch. 01419511025. Now tonight's teaser, we are looking for the top 10 players who scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers. I took Chris Bart Williams out because Hugh and DJ would never have got it, let's be honest, and I don't think many would have taken Chris Bart Williams out. So we're looking for, apart from him, 10 players who've scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers. We've already got Michael Owen, and we've already got Wayne Rooney. Have you got any more suggestions for me?
Robbie Fowler.
You now have the top three. Well done. Michael Owen was first, Robbie Fowler second, and Wayne Rooney third.
I've got three names written down here, but they're just guesses. I'll give you them. Graham Sharp, Charlie Nicholas, Andy Gray.
English Premier League, remember, so we're talking 92 onwards.
Oh, 92 onwards.
Raheem Sterling.
Yes.
Ooh.
He is indeed one of the answers. Any more at the moment?
No.
Right, so we've already got Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, Wayne Rooney, and Raheem Sterling. We're looking for another six, and we'll get the answers after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are racking their brains for this full-time teaser. That's when we invite you to send us a question and try and catch the guys out. So Martin Burns sent one in tonight. If you'd like to send a question, please do so. Full-time at Clyde1.com. We're looking for the 10 players who scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers, apart from Chris Bart Williams. So we've already got Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler and Wayne Rooney, and Raheem Sterling. What did you come up with during the break?
Marcus Rashford.
Yes.
And also Nicholas Anelka.
I think this could be Hugh and Derek's best performance of the season on the teaser. Now I hear you, that's because they've set the bar really low. But credit where credit's due, they are flying. We're only looking for,
let's be honest, a chihuahua could go under our bar.
We're only looking for four more. This is usually where it goes downhill, so stay tuned. Michael is in Kilmarnock. Hi Michael.
Hello there.
Hi, what's your point tonight, Michael?
My point tonight is the comments made by Craig Levein about 4 to 6 weeks ago, when he made a kind of an attack on Scott Brown about his competitiveness. Now, since then, there's been three players ordered off for fouls against Scott Brown. And I just wonder whether these articles had any sort of effect on players who play against Scott Brown. Players who don't have the same ability as Scott Brown, but try to outdo him in the physical side.
Well, let's put it in perspective. First of all, give it historical accuracy. One of the red cards for Cedric Kipre of Motherwell was rescinded.
Okay.
But the other two, Sam Cosgrove's tackle on Scott Brown was just a joke, laughably bad tackle, and also the tackle at the weekend from Andrew Davis was scandalous. But I don't hold Craig Levein responsible. What Craig Levein said, that players had to be protected from Scott Brown, what he said was daft, coming from a man of his experience, his playing and managerial experience. And it may have been heat of the moment, it may have been too soon to put a microphone under his nose, but he was wrong to say what he said. But I do not think that had any effect on Sam Cosgrove or Andrew Davies. They were not hearing Craig Levein in their head. They were simply losing the plot.
Well, I really hear, I can see very confident, but I really don't fully agree with that, because even against Rangers, the tackle in Scott Brown just before the goal that Dembele scored was another very physical tackle.
Yeah, but it wasn't anywhere near what Cosgrove and Davies were guilty of. It was certainly a foul on Scott Brown, but Scott Brown still gets the ball away to Dembele, and Dembele scores to make it 2-2. So I don't even remember the name of the Rangers player who committed
Candace,
that.
Candace, it was Candace. A sort of barge, if you like.
Well, but it was nothing compared to Davies and to Cosgrove. So, as I say, for me, this season, Scott Brown, a man who in the past has been able to dish it out himself, for me, taking this season in isolation, Scott Brown has been more sinned against than sinner.
Thank you to Michael in Kilmarnock. Let's hear from Alan Archibald. He says the bottom of the table clash with Ross County tomorrow is one of the biggest games since he's been at the club. A win for the Jags in the Highlands moves them 6 clear of automatic relegation. And Archibald says the players know exactly how important it is to get a result.
It's a massive game. I think it's a huge incentive for both sides. Obviously, we'll get a chance to pull away for County, and they've got a massive incentive to get on top of us. So, no, it's a big match. Players know how big a game it is. I think they're well aware of it, and I think County will be the same, and it'll be both teams going desperate to win the match. That's the incentive for both teams. It gives us a chance to go and pull away from them, and they've got the same incentive. So it'll be two teams going at it, desperate to get the victory. Obviously, they've changed, because they've changed their manager a number of times, and they've changed their kind of set-up again over the last couple of games with different formations and different players. And they're similar to us. They're trying to get that remedy and changing different things, whether it be formations or players, and they're trying to get the right answer, the same as ourselves. Yeah, but look, that happens at the bottom end of the table. If that happened this time last year, it would have probably got the goal. That's football. It's the nature of it. We've got to just work harder to try and keep the ball out on net. And the harder we work, the more luck we'll get, and hopefully these decisions will even ourselves out.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's the biggest game, I would suggest, since Alan Archibald became Partick Thistle manager, because if they go 6 points clear, the psychological lift is terrific, because it means that Ross County then go into the post-split matches knowing that they are bang up against it. And then Thistle have to fight to get out of the playoff place. But a win in the Highlands tomorrow would be massive for Partick Thistle, and very destructive in the psychological sense for Ross County.
I mean, both losing at the weekend, I suppose you could say fixtures, with all due respect, that most would have expected them to lose, certainly
absolutely.
In Ross County's case, and probably in Partick Thistle's case as well. But the incentive tomorrow, Hugh, is just massive. You talk about six pointers and all
clear,
the rest of it.
Six point clear. If Partick Thistle win, then that's a lot to make up. Somebody's got to lose 3 games, and they've got to win all there. So what a crucial game it is.
Ross
tomorrow.
County know if they lose tomorrow night, they go into the games after the split, and subconsciously they're thinking, we're not going to make this.
What about that incident? To be fair to Alan Archibald, he's taking a very pragmatic approach and talking about things evening themselves out. We hear this quite often. Partick Thistle denied a goal. Certainly a bit of debate about whether the ball had already crossed the line when the offside flag went up. Very tight, whatever way you kind of look at it, Hugh Keevans. But I suppose Alan Archibald certainly doesn't seem to be dwelling on it.
No, he can't, because You really have no time left to dwell on anything. The past is gone. It's your present and your immediate future that is the main concern. Everything revolves around this game tomorrow night in the Highlands, because, I repeat, if they go 6 points clear of Ross County, subconsciously Ross County know they're out of here. They're going down a division. Partick Thistle then have to focus on Hamilton Accies and Dundee and getting above them.
Any further forward on the teaser? Looking for four remaining answers for the 10 players who scored the most English Premier League goals as teenagers.
Harry Kane?
Harry Kane didn't score any as a teenager, would you believe?
No. I'm thinking somebody from Southampton for some strange
reason. No, don't waste your time on Southampton.
I'm not thinking from anybody from Southampton. No, I can't think.
I'll tell you there is one. One of your four is still a prominent goal scorer in the English Premier League. He's not British. I know you might think of the youngsters coming through, but he was an import. And is still right up there with one of the top clubs. Right, come on. If Harry Kane is Tottenham's main striker and Aguero is Man City's main striker and it's not either of them, it's not Salah or Mane. What other big clubs are up there?
Man United.
Uh-huh. You've already said Rashford. Who's the other one? Who's Man United's main striker? Come on. He's also played for one of the Merseyside teams. He's also played for one of the London teams.
Lukaku.
Lukaku, yes. Yeah. Romelu Lukaku. So you've got 1, 2, 3 still to get. One of these guys has played up here, Hugh Keevans, for, well, he played a cup final for Motherwell, which not many people would remember. The most recent one, when Celtic beat Motherwell in the 2011 cup final, was that? He played for Motherwell, made his name at Arsenal. No? You like the initials, Derek, don't you?
Yeah.
FJ.
FJ. Mm-hmm. Oh, Franny Jeffers.
Franny Jeffers.
Oh, the fox in the box.
The fox in the box. That was going to be my next clue, but I thought that would be far too easy. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So you've got two to get. Okay. This guy made his name, I think, with Leicester, and he got a big money move to Liverpool. He may still be playing. I don't think he is. Certainly no level that we would be aware of. So started at Leicester, went to Liverpool, somewhere in the region of 11 million, rings a bell, and I think finished his career in Australia. Played for England quite a few times.
Is the same name as Johnson?
No, he does not. He certainly doesn't have the same name as you, no.
No. Right.
Initials again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, E-H. Easy, come on. E-H. Well, not many people begin with E.
Eric?
No.
Eddie.
Big target man type.
Heskey.
Yes.
Oh, Emil Heskey.
And the last one, really well known when he came, you know, famous for coming through at a young age, played with Leeds, played with Newcastle, played with Man United.
Oh, Alan Smith.
Yes, Alan Smith. We got there in the end with the help of a few
question.
Clues.
A good one tonight.
Thank you to Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and a big thank you to you. We can do it all over again tomorrow night in the company of Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. Don't go anywhere because Callum Gallagher is up next. He's got music from the likes of Bruno Mars, Marshmello and Neo as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.